The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now I'm joined by Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College Dublin. Morning, Luke.
Good morning, Pat.
You're going to tell me about a baby who's made history.
That's right, yeah. But as I've had breakthroughs, this is a real one, though. A baby with a very severe rare disease has now been effectively cured with gene editing, a thing called CRISPR, as we discussed before. And it's remarkable, Pat, because it's a rare disease called CPS1 deficiency. There's a single change in your DNA. They corrected that in the baby. Now, normally, Pat, that disease would kill that baby within about a week. Half the numbers of babies die within a week. And now 9.5 months later, this baby's pretty normal. So it's seen as a real advance in terms of gene editing.
So if the baby had survived, it would have been pretty disabled throughout its life.
Exactly. Yeah. Within about a month, there's lack of development in the brain. The liver doesn't develop properly. And it's really fatal, obviously, for babies. There is a drug that can be used to treat it, though, which can limit it a bit. But this seems to be the way to do it. And the reason it's so exciting for that is it opens the door to many diseases where your genes are different.
Now, talk to me about CPS1 deficiency. How many genes are involved in that particular deficiency?
Yeah, it's a single gene.
One gene.
One gene, yeah. Now, it's very rare, Pat, one in about a million, so it's extremely rare. Single gene is broken, if you like, with this disease. And what that means is your body can't handle ammonia. We make ammonia, strangely, in our own bodies, and that builds up and becomes toxic, causes brain damage and liver damage and so on. They knew the gene was defective in this baby, and they could then go in there and correct that gene. Now, amazingly, Pat, you've got, as you may remember, 3 billion letters in your DNA, right? Isn't it incredible? A single letter's wrong in this disease, and that makes all the difference.
How did they find it?
Well, this was discovered. Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, it was discovered a good few years ago now. The analogy we use was like a recipe for a cake, really, and there's a slight change in the recipe. Now, in this case, it's a single nucleotide, we call them, out of 3 billion. They could design a specially targeted mechanism to go in and correct that gene, and now the gene is now normal, and the baby then is as if that gene wasn't mutated.
Now, your DNA is in all your cells, so when you correct it, what exactly do you do to make all the cells be adjusted?
Yeah, they call it this the GPS, amazingly. They designed a chemical that could target that specific gene using very clever technology.
So it targets your whole body?
Your whole body, yeah. But the thing is, the liver is the main place where this enzyme is that handles ammonia. And it's in the liver that we see the problems. And it turns out you can design things to go to the liver. First of all, the liver takes them up, goes into the cells in the liver, and then the GPS finds the broken gene and corrects it. It does sound like sort of space-age stuff, doesn't it? But of course, the technology part is called CRISPR. And as you may remember, that's the big gene editing technology. It's called CRISPR. Discovered in 2012, but now we're seeing real effects in patients.
So what did they do? Did they take the DNA out, because you don't want to put foreign DNA in, so it's got to be the child's own DNA, change one thing in it and put it back in?
You don't need to. You inject. They inject the baby with a special sort of fatty bag, you might call it, that contains the apparatus to correct the gene. That little fatty bag goes into your bloodstream, finds its way through the circulation into your liver, into the liver cells, releases the device, if you will, to correct the gene. And it's amazing, isn't it? And it turns out many things end up on the liver anyway. You know, it says you're targeting the liver in a natural way, but you don't need to take anything out here. And all the cells in the liver then are corrected.
So in terms of the treatment of the baby, how many shots of this stuff does the baby need?
Well, it's a fascinating story when you read it. It was August the 8th last year when they diagnosed this disease in the baby. The baby's only about a week old now. And they could tell. They're very clever at spotting these things. They contact some gene experts and say, can you help us? They begin to design the whole technique to do it. They gave one injection. Didn't really work, actually. They noticed it didn't work. 22 days later, they repeat injected, and now they began to see the enzyme being made. You can measure the enzyme being made that breaks down the ammonia. That went up then. And all they knew now, hang on a minute, this thing is now being restored. And they noticed then the child baby began to develop normally. And 9.5 months out, we're now 9.5 months beyond this, this baby is pretty normal, which is why the headline is so compelling, really.
Now, the fact that they were able to diagnose the baby just after birth with this condition, had they any reason to suspect this baby might have this deficiency?
Yeah, I think that they do look for metabolic abnormalities in newborns. They can tell if their metabolism is slightly off kilter. They can spot that. You know, the heel prick test is a famous one for that. But there's various diseases. They're very rare. But lo and behold, it was in the Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. I think they were working on this disease anyway. They were looking out for it, kind of, you know. And then when a baby presented with it, they could then mobilize the forces behind it. But it's so rare. The other thing they're saying, Pat, is there's many rare diseases. There's as many as 30 million Americans have some very rare disease, a bit like this one. mm-hmm. and they're all different, there's 7,000 different types of rare disease. These now are amenable now to the same kind of approach. It will go well beyond, they reckon, this CPS1 disease.
But I don't know, if you think of the population replacing itself, and if you've got, say, 400 million people in the United States, what does that mean are born every year, 70 into, maybe 4 million people born so you might have two or three cases of this every year.
Exactly. It's extremely rare. It's amazing, as you say, they found in the first place. There's many rare, really rare diseases, you know, and luckily enough, they can find them now and then identify them.
Now, how difficult is this process for you biochemist to put this thing together?
Yeah.
I mean, is it complicated or is it?
It is. It's complicated, but the point is, Pat, this is a step up, I guess. It's a bit like, you know, you've upgraded your iPhone in a way that they're talking about, in a sense. You know, they've improved the technology, and now they're showing the technology really works.
So the question is, what other, maybe more common but still rare conditions might be treated with this CRISPR technology?
Well, again, that's what's causing such excitement. And this was always the promise of this technology, by the way. There are much more common diseases like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, sickle cell anemia, you know, Huntington's disease. There's loads of diseases where there's a single base change in your DNA that causes the disease. So what they're saying now is, we'll now move on and go into these more common diseases, and there's a real prospect. Can you imagine, Pat, if cystic fibrosis was treatable with a single...
Particularly in Ireland, where it's more common than in other places.
Exactly, and the protocol would be maybe one injection and another injection 20 days later, and then you suddenly begin to restore the gene to its normal state.
Now, we're talking about a baby who's kind of fresh out of stem cell territory. Does it work for adults?
Yeah, that's a good question. They don't know yet. That's a good point. Yeah, it's mainly in babies they've seen this. But there will be hope that it will extend into adults as well, is the idea, because the genes are all the same. You know, you should be able to target a liver in an adult just as much as you would in a baby. But there could be some nuance there. Get in early is the usual thing.
Now, this baby is, what, less than a year old? Yeah. So we might have to wait a while to figure out whether or not the changed DNA is heritable. In other words, that they don't carry on this mutation.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That probably isn't the case, because it wouldn't have corrected the sperm, you see, necessarily. The egg, I'm not sure if it was a boy or a girl, to be honest, but the egg or sperm would have to be corrected there, and they haven't quite got there yet, because the technology doesn't get as far as that, if you like.
But prior to this, that child would not have lived to reproduce. That child hopefully will live to reproduce, and the answer to that riddle will be found.
Exactly, and the big thing they notice, there's a drug you can use to give these babies that kind of works a bit. They weaned the baby off that drug. That was the real sign it was working. You know, the drug doesn't really work very well. It slows it down a bit, but they noticed less and less of that drug, and that was more evidence that the gene therapy was working.
So that fundamental question of whether or not, say, people who carried the CF gene, whether or not after treatment they would continue to carry it.
That's a big question. That's the question as well, exactly. Yeah, but the hope is massive now for this, Pat, by the way. The disease like cystic fibrosis could be treatable in this way.
This is fantastic. Luke, thank you very much. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.